Amen. We'll believe God for these answers. Thank you, Sam. Praise God. Thank you, Shirley. And we just want to come before you now, and by the grace of God, with the Lord's help, I want to be able to get this message out, and I want to be able to say things in such a manner that is befitting and that would be God-inspired. I've been praying and asking the Lord to really help me. And the name of the message today is called Lay Down Your Isaac. Lay down your Isaac. And the first part of the scripture that we want to focus on today would be Genesis chapter 22. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22 to start off. You know, it's going to cost you something to give up that thing that causes you joy and laughter. It's going to cost you something. Sometimes we go through life and we have so many Isaacs in our life and we don't know how to lay them down. They take up so much room and space in our hearts that we have no time for no one else or nothing else, and not even God. That these things consume our life. And we oftentimes need to find ourselves a place, a quiet place, and lift our hands and cry out to God and ask Him to forgive us. That we would cry out for in repentance and ask God to forgive us for allowing these things to take root and stock in our life over Jesus. Amen? When we allow these things to come in, we block the blessings. When we allow these things to come in our lives and we lose our focus, we lose ground with God. We lose ground, though He is faithful. He is faithful. But you see, we can do a lot of harm spiritually to ourselves. We have to fight sometimes to get back to where we once were. We need to repent for not having the passion we once used to have for Christ. Not having the desire to serve God like we used to. When we once were saved, first coming to the Lord Jesus, we had that great passion to serve God. But throughout your life, you had noticed how that things come into your life and crowd out Jesus. They crowd out the things of God. They crowd out your love for Christ because of things. And these are things that the devil will use in your life to cause you to grow lukewarm, to cause you to lose your focus of who the Lord is in your life. Amen? Churches are full of people like that. They go to church and they go to a program, and it's all it is. It's a program. It's a show. Or they go through the motions. Church ought to be a place where you go and your lives are changed. Church ought to be a place where you get inspired to live for Christ, to live a holy life. Church ought to be a place where you want to live in holiness and integrity before God. It doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. That's a non-relevant thing. What is relevant is that you give your heart. God didn't want Abraham, He didn't want Abraham's son, Isaac. God wanted all of Abraham. Didn't He? When He laid down Isaac, let's go there. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Well, how many young people out there today, or old people even, people in between, how many people out there are willing to say, Here I am? But we'd gotten to the place in our life where you can't even hear God calling you anymore. You get to the place in your life where everything, you've gotten so used to living subpar and beneath your means beneath the privileges of living a Christian life, that everything is crowded, everything has crowded you out from hearing the Lord's voice. And we should be willing, like Abraham, to have that faith as a child, to say, here I am, to go quickly to obedience, to hear from God, and to obey. Listen, this is what happened. And he said, take now thine son, O thine only son Isaac. Did you see the way the Lord phrased these words? Thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Many people have cried out for sons and daughters to have babies, and they are consumed with their children more than they are of God. That's not to say that our children aren't precious, because they are. Children are a precious heritage of the Lord. But the Lord isn't looking for us to worship those things that God gives us as a blessing. God is looking for your heart to be devoted to Him. God wants all of you. He wants you to lay down your Isaacs that are in your life, that are taking all your time. And it says here, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Oh, that land of Moriah. And offer him up a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now, Moriah is a wonderful place. This is a place where King David sought out that precious threshing floor of Araunah, where he did not dare to take that field for free. He paid a price, just like that pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ. It will cost you something to follow Christ. It will cost you something to lay down that Isaac. It's going to cost you something. You've got to give something in order to receive. And the Lord wants you to understand that there is something about Moriah in your life. When you go to Moriah, when you go to that hill, that place of sacrifice, when you go before the altar of Almighty God and you lay down that Isaac, that only Isaac, that precious Isaac, that thing in your life, it might be a relationship, it might be like a friend or someone that's more important to you than God, or it might be a thing, something in your life that is taking first place. And I want to turn with you to, it's a spiritual test, but let's prove that out by going to Exodus 20, verse 20 with me. I just want to prove to you what that means. And in verse 20 it says here in Exodus, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your eyes, that ye sin not. This is exactly what the Lord is wanting us to see and to know and to hear and to understand. That we fear God enough in our life to obey Him. To lay that thing down. He's going to prove our faith. We know that true obedience is proved out by true faith. Amen. And here we see in verse 3 now. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son clave the wood for a burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. This is a type of Christ, I'm telling you. This is a type of Christ. We know that both were seeds of promise. Jesus and Isaac was a seed of promise. And we know that Jesus, who stood there between two thieves on the cross, he took two men with him. This isn't something that was exactly what happened on the cross, but it's a type, it's a shadow of what happened. And I'm going to show that to you. And it says here, "And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." What happened on the third day? What happened when Jesus rose on the third day? He was lifted up, wasn't he? Jesus was lifted up on the third day. And he rose and he saw a place afar off, that place of promise. That great city, that was Jesus. That city, that place, afar off. "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad go yonder and worship, and come again to you." What happened there? Truly, I'm telling you, this is a type of Christ. You don't hear of Isaac again until he is receiving his bride. Jesus said, "When I come again the second time, I will come to receive you as my bride." Amen? It says here in verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, his only son. And it took a fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both them together." Oh, praise God. And little Isaac, oh, what a story that is. "And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Oh, boy. We know that that question is answered in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins. Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the whole world. That question is answered in the form of Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse 7, In verse 8, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide him a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." Who was that offering? Who was that? He provided a ram. But in the form of Jesus Christ was that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice made. "And they came unto the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." I want you to know that we're going to prove to you that that was actually done in the sight of God. That act of faith was considered a done deal already, but he spared Isaac. "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay him." That whole intent was right there. He was going to do it. He was going to obey God because he loved God enough to want to please God. Do we have that same heart in our life? Do we love God enough to where we're going to obey Him at all costs? Are we counting the cost? I remind of a story, a true story of a young man, two young men who were talking about the service for God. They were talking about being missionaries. And one said that, "I cannot tell you what all the things that God has done in my life, but He has done much." But he wanted to encourage his friend to also join with him to be a missionary, to serve God. And the young man said, "Well, I know there's so many things that I've got to give up. There's so many things that I have to look at. I've got to count the cost." But then an older gentleman walked by and put his hand on his shoulder and says, "Young man, have you ever counted the cost of what it would be to not serve God?" So it is in our lives. And it came to the place where with which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. There's that altar. That altar before God Almighty. It's not a place that you call an altar. That altar is the Lord, isn't it? That altar is a place of repentance that you go before God and give your life, give your cares and concerns to the Lord. That's the altar we're talking about. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God." Did you see that word fear again? Thou fearest God. "Seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham... Oh, there's Carol. How you doing there, sister? "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." In verse 14 here, "And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh." The Lord has provided is what that means. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord shall be seen. Did you not know that Abraham saw what was going to happen? Abraham saw into the future. Jesus was seen in the temple. Jesus was also crucified on the cross. And I want to show that to you by going to John chapter 8, 56. John chapter 8, 56. He knew it because the Lord showed him ahead of time. Amen. "He saw eyes of faith as he looked up the third day. He looked afar off." Praise God. John 8:56 will tell us. And it says here, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day when he saw it and was glad." He saw it afar off. He saw what the Lord showed him, as he said, and he's seen it. Amen? That's what that means. And if you go to number 15 here, verse 15. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." I want to show you that in God's sight, this was already accomplished as a type, as a figure. This was already done. He was raised from the dead too. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, 16. I want to show you that. Hebrews. Praise God. It just takes me a while to get there. Praise God for His precious promises, for His Word, for all the truth that is found in here, in this book. "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Another type and shadow, his only begotten son. "Of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In God's eyes, that was already done. Praise God. And it says here in verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Oh, that obedience. That laying down of the Isaacs in your life. To walk in that precious obedience. We often sometimes stand between the rock and sinking sand, don't we? Where we stand between the rock of Christ and that sinking sand of all these things in our lives that are quick to take us down, that are quick to take over our life, and where we lose our focus, where we lose faith because we become lukewarm, and our eyes are no longer on Christ. It's on the things of this world. It's on each other. It's on other things. It's on life. It gets so busy. All the busyness of life. This, that, and the other takes complete control of our life. Pretty soon, we have no time to pray. We have no time to get before God. We have no time to say, wait, Jesus comes first. You find that when you put Jesus first, all these other things fall into place. That's how it works. It's going to cost you something, though, to lay down that Isaac. That Isaac that gives you joy, that laughter, that fun. It's going to cost you something, but it's going to be worth it. God always severely tests those. When you are severely tested, He's going to leave behind you a wonderful blessing. And that's how it works. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23. I wish somebody would raise their hand right now. Cry out, O Lord God. O Lord God, I repent. Somebody would raise their hand, cry out, Lord, help me. Oh, dear God, I've lost focus. I'm no longer have that great compassion I once used to have for you, Lord. I don't do the things that I promised you that I would do when I was younger. I told you I would do this and I told you I would do that. And somehow life got in the way. The Lord is wanting us to lay that down. He understands that we live in the flesh. But He has given us that power and ability to lay that Isaac down. Amen? I want you to go to 2 Samuel with me. Chapter 23. And there, we're going to go to verse 9. And we're talking about King David. A wonderful story. Oh, this is wonderful. One of my favorite. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men of David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. We're going to come to that in just a few moments here, shortly. I want to show you what happened, what those three mighty men did. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. Oh, that sword of the Word of God. Amen. We should have that in our own hand, where that we are clung to the Word of God. Even though we grow weary, yet we will not give up. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though we fight and we fight, we become weary, we become tired. But our commitment, that getting to that other level, that spiritual level of not giving up and counting the cost and giving all to Jesus in total surrender, is when you have that hand on that sword. Even though it grows weary, yet it cleaves to that sword, the Word of God. Because you trust in the Word of God. You trust in the Lord. That's where your trust should be. And he clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Can you see that? And the people returned after him only to spoil. In other words, you know, the people returned for a great spoil. It reminds me of a Japanese statesman who once said, if your people in America could love and learn to love your God as much as we love our emperor, you would have long ago since taken the world for Christ. It was said that the emperor would cause people to, in the field of battle, they could carry no gun, but they had to cut these wired entanglements so that the army behind them could go forth to the spoil. And they had to cut these wires. They said that you would not come back, but just be it known unto you that when you cut one or two wires, you will fall dead, and the person behind you will take your place and do the same. Until those wires are cut, and the army upon your dead bodies will march on to victory. That is how it was done in Japan. But he says that same type of commitment, if we had that same level of commitment for Jesus, we would have long ago since taken the world for Christ. And I believe that. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agag, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. In other words, there was great steadfastness and courage. This is what the Lord wants us to have in that great battle of life against the enemy of our souls. To not give up. I'm getting to that place now. But I have to read this so that you get a point that you understand where I'm coming from. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. That garrison where all that pure, clean, cool water was. And I want to show you something here. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Oh, who is that water? He was talking about Jesus, wasn't he? Jesus is that water. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. I want to show you something. Isaiah chapter 41. And here, let's go down to verse 17. I guess we'll read 17 and 18. And when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers of high places, the fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. Let's follow that up with going to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John 4. Who is that living water? Oh, praise God. Chapter 4, verse 10. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well to drink thereof, himself and his children and cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst, or shall thirst again, rather. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what I'm talking about. That's the water we're talking about. This is what David was longing for as he laid down his sword at night and his eyes looked towards the east. He took off his crown, he laid down his robe, and he sat there longing, talking to himself, Oh, that I could have the cool waters of Abraham, of Bethlehem. And those three mighty men who sitting near his tent heard him, and this is what they did. Verse 16. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, that it was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. He laid down that Isaac. That could have been an Isaac in his life, but he laid it down before the Lord. He was thirsty and weary, battle weary, tired, thirsty, and all he dreamed about was that cool, crisp water from Bethlehem. But truly, that's talking about the spiritual. That water was Jesus. That water was the living water of Christ. Are you willing to lay down your Isaac today? Are you able? Are you willing? When something will get in your way, when something tempts you to take something that only belongs to Christ, if you would give all your time and attention to Him, you would find that He will renew your strength as He does the eagles. He would help you. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble, according to Psalm 46. Yes, amen. Amen? Amen? Let's go to Philippians real quick. I want to show you something there. Oh, praise God. Because I want to encourage you here. And it says here, But what things were gained to me, these I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, there is a battle for your soul. There is a battle. There's a race to run. There's a good fight to fight. And it says here, and he found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. Do you want to know the Lord that much in your life? Are you willing to count the cost? Are you willing to forsake those Isaacs in your life and get down on your knees and spend time with him? To get down on your knees and pray. Pray through to the Holy Ghost. Pray through until you know the Lord. Pray through until you don't want to get up again. Pray through until you're hearing from God. Until you feel the power of His presence in your life. Until you feel that peace, that joy. Until you feel that assurance that the Lord is working in your life. That His presence is near you. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. And if by any means I might attain... Wait, let me read the second part of... Let me go back and read 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made comfortable unto His death, or conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. In other words, get rid of those Isaacs. Forget about them. Forget about them. God wants you. And these are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here it is now. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we also attain, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, let us be of one accord. Let us be of one mind, one accord. Let us be together. Let there be no division among us. Amen? Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. They say in sample, it really means example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, from whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord. So it says in the Word of God, in Psalms, our help cometh from the Lord. Not from another person, not from another thing, not from a friend, not from money, but from God. Amen? Who shall change our vile body, this is it now, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now let's go to Mark chapter 10. I want to go to Mark chapter 10. Oh, praise God. Here we have that rich young ruler. Mark chapter 10. Isaac, in his life, was wealth. He didn't want to lay down that wealth, did he? Let's go there. And when he came, he was gone forth into the way. There came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Oh, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" There are a lot of people out there They're quick to want to know how they can attain eternal life. How can I be saved? How can I know the way? And the minute you tell them that it's going to cost you something, they lose heart, don't they? They don't want to follow through. It's too hard. It's too hard for me. I don't want to give up this and I don't want to give up that. I love the Green Bay Packers. I don't want to give up the Green Bay Packers. And I'm not going to give up my TV. I love my that fudge cake at 12 midnight, you know, with a little bit of milk, cold milk, you know. And I love to have my cake and eat it too, in other words. Nope, you could call that a pun, and pun intended. But what I'm trying to say is that the Lord is wanting your life to be completely devoted and committed to Him first. Not be devoted to the blessing that He gives you, but be devoted to the giver of that blessing. Let's go there. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. How many people today do not honor their father or mother? How many people today bear false witness about other people? How many people today kill and steal and destroy to get their way? To walk on the backs of those poor people who do the work, that they defraud them, steal from them, coerce them, manipulate, pickpocket their money through fraudulent practices. We have a government that does such a thing right now. We have that kind of a thing going on right now in this country. All those Ponzi schemes and all these other things that go on daily to destroy our wealth. No longer do we have wealth in this country. It's all gone. I hate to tell you that, but you probably know that already. But it's all gone. Basically, we're living on paper fumes. It's all we have left. Confetti. And it says here, And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad, and that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, that's the truth too. Money has a way of taking control of your life. It's called greed. Enough is never enough. I remember when I was in that cult down in New Mexico years ago now. How the Lord delivered me out of there, but how that this so-called prophetess of the Lord, Deborah Green, and anyone can look them up on the internet, ACMTC was the name of that group. ACMTC was the name of that group, out of New Mexico. Aggressive Christianity Missions Training Corps. That's how I got sucked into it. I thought that they were devoted to Christ, living in the desert, poor. But far from it. They were greedy. And she said to me one day that she remembered how that she was walking down the hallway and she saw a demon of greed walk around the corner. She physically saw the demon of greed But how convenient that she would tell me that, and she couldn't even look in her own self. How convenient to tell somebody that had given everything that they had to come there, and then some, and to try to throw a guilt on them, but then yet she couldn't look in the mirror at herself. How true is that with a lot of people? They fail to look in the mirror and look at themselves and look at their own greed. Look at what they're doing. How terrible. And how that this demon was the ugliest, smelliest thing she'd ever seen in her whole life. I discerned that she was trying to tell me something. But I just said, oh, okay. And, I'm sure it was pretty wicked. And I walked away. And she didn't know what to say to that. And she just, I don't know what she did. She said to me, Tim, I was in the kitchen there. I was doing something. I forget what I was doing in there. And I was getting a glass of water. I was outside working. I was getting a glass of water. That's what it was. And she comes in there and she says, Tim, isn't it great that when one person gets sick, we all get sick? I looked at her and I thought, well, I didn't say anything at all. I just looked at her and I tried to understand where she was coming from. And I couldn't quite understand and put the two together what she truly meant by that. It didn't make sense to me, but I didn't question her either. I says, okay. I'm sure that that's something that you feel strong about. It was a terrible thing, but that's another story. It's a long story. I won't get into all that right now. I have a testimony. It's on there somewhere on the internet there, but anyways. Either way, suffice it to say that we need to trust in the Lord. I got off on a bunny trail there. But that take up our cross and follow Him. And that real, true, hidden treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. And it says here in verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, that camel, that needle is a true account. I mean, there's a place, there's a gate in the Middle East where they say it's a needle. It's a small little hole in the wall, and a camel will have to get on its knees to crawl under. How hardly, the Bible says, that could happen. But it's easier for that to happen than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So you can see what a control that greed, that money god will have on people. If that's all they think about, if that's all they care about, they will do nothing. Nothing will stop them to get what they want. Follow the money trail, and you'll find all the wickedness, the root of all evil, all the wickedness of mankind. Right there. Follow the money trail. Where the money trail is, you're going to find a trail of dead bodies. You're going to find a trail of corruption of every kind. Every fraudulent thing you can think of. Just follow the money trail. And they were... Okay, here. Where am I here? Verse 26. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Wow, that had to be an amazing moment for his disciples. Who then can be saved? What hope is there for any of us? What should we do then, Lord? We've given up all we can, all we've had to follow you. But here, in verse 27, and Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. This was the very verse. We're going to be turning now to Matthew 13:44. But that verse here in Mark 10 was the very verse that the Lord showed me when I was on my knees down in that pew, the third row back, praying when I was visiting here one time as to what I should do. And the Lord showed me to just open the Word of God. I opened it right to Mark chapter 10, that verse. And I showed Pastor David that verse. And he says, and I remember how Pastor was up here, and he says, well, we need to pray for Tim because he's really in earnest about getting his prayer answered one way or the other. And he discerned that. He picked it right up out of the thin air. And I didn't expect that to happen, but praise God. And then at that moment, I opened my Bible and I came to that verse and I showed him that. And I was excited because I knew at that point that I knew that I had the green light to move here. I went back home and I made the arrangements. And I came here. And long story. Anyways, Matthew 13. It says here in verse, I just want to go to verse 43 to 45. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field. The which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Who was that pearl of great price? That one, Jesus Christ, that pearl of great price, that we would sell, that we would give and surrender all that we have for the sake of following after the Lord. Yeah. Lastly, I want to encourage you to go and follow me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to read 1 through 6 in closing. It says here, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, as I made mention earlier. We stand somewhere between that rock and sinking sand. What side are you on? There comes a time when we have to let go of all that stuff. We can stand between a rock and that sinking sand. That sinking sand, all the cares of the world, it goes nowhere but down. That sinking sand causes many problems in our life. All those Isaacs that we let get caught up in our life, that we fail to lay down on the altar of God, that place of sacrifice, where we let it go. Okay. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Did you know that Jesus was true to the cross? Did you know that Jesus was true to the cross of Christ? He was true to the cross of Calvary. Despising the shame, and to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In other words, it's a spiritual striving. It's a striving against that spiritual wickedness in high places. A striving against the fleshly, the carnal. All these things that these people in your life. You might go to school somewhere. You know, it's a tough thing when you're young. You go to high school or you're going to some school, and all that peer pressure. Oh, that peer pressure. I remember when I was in high school. That peer pressure can be rough. But God is asking you to be different. God is encouraging you to take that Isaac upon the altar and give it to God. And dare to be different. Dare to be holy. Dare to be righteous. Dare to be true to the cross as Jesus was. Here. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Are you on that list? Is your name found written in the book of life? Does the Lord love you? Are you going to be the one that will have to make that decision as that young rich ruler whom the Lord beheld and loved? Will you be the one like Abraham who longed to please God because He loved him enough? To obey. If we were true to the cross, we would have no trouble in walking in obedience. If we were true and we understood what that meant, the yielding of our whole life, the giving of ourself, the full surrender of Jesus to Jesus in our life. In closing, I remember a story I once heard of, I don't know about you, but I love the ocean. I love ships. I love the mariner way of life. I've always loved that. And about a ship that was about to capsize, there was a boy and a girl, they were brother and sister years ago, and how that they had were climbing among these rocks and cliffs along the shore of this, I think it was the Pacific Ocean, and they were playing there and they noticed a shape of a cross in a rock, and it had all these holes and these you know, all these crevices where they decided to have fun with that one day, and they put all these dry things of grass and sticks and things like that they could find, which formed the shape of a cross, and they lit it. And they could see the whole cross was, when they lit it, they could see the cross in flames, which was pretty neat. Well, one day, as they grew up, the young man, he chased after a career, but the young woman stayed home in their hometown. She stayed there her whole life. And her brother came home to visit, and they lived right near the ocean there. And it was a stormy day, and that he had seen this ship with its distress signals. And he told his sister about the distress signals, that he had noticed a ship out there, that they were in trouble. And immediately his sister thought about that old cross. She rushed out there with some dry wood, a pile of dry wood. This cross was in an area where you could still light it and have fire, where it wouldn't be burnt because of wind and rain. And so she put these sticks and all these things in this and all the holes with the cross, you know, and lit the fire. And as the fire was burning on the cross, the sailors from out in the ocean saw, "Look, the cross. Follow the cross, and we'll find our way home from there." Amen. We'll find our way home from there. Praise the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants you to do today. Look for the cross. Lay down that Isaac and pick up your cross and follow Him. Yeah. You'll find the way home. Amen. Praise God. And I think we're going to pray right now and ask God to bless us today as we go into prayer after we sing, and then we'll have a luncheon downstairs. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this wonderful day, and I pray, O Lord God, that as You stayed true to the cross, O Lord, that You would help us likewise in turn to stay true to You, to carry our cross, and to follow hard after Thee. For we know that, Lord God, when we follow hard after You, it won't be so hard. But when we don't follow hard, it becomes difficult to follow after You, Lord, when we follow easy. We thank You, Lord, for the cross of Christ. We thank You, Lord God, for the examples given us in the Word of God, for laying down our Isaacs, O God, all these things that get in the way. I pray, Lord, now that You would lead, guide, and direct us into all truth. Help us, O God, to lay down those Isaacs, to pick up our cross and follow after You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to go to the...